The Old Testament reading is found in Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God beside you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry, and we sin in our sins. We have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise if you're able. The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, this is the season of Advent, and during the season of Advent, we anticipate the coming of Jesus. His first coming as a baby born on Christmas Day, and his second coming, which hasn't happened yet, but it's described here in Mark 13. Jesus descending on clouds, surrounded by angels, gathering the saints from every corner of heaven and earth. It's exciting to think about, but it's also so far beyond anything we've ever experienced it's hard to believe it'll ever happen. Hard to believe, even though every week when we recite one of the historic creeds, we always say, we believe Jesus will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. That's what we say. But that's hard to grasp. And at the same time, it's important to understand. So what is it about the end times, about the return of Jesus, that we need to understand? Well, for one thing, we need to understand where our information is coming from. The Bible should be our authoritative source. But a lot of us get our information about end times primarily from the popular Left Behind series of books and movies. The first movie came out in the year 2000. The last movie came out just this year, 2023. Here's a quote from the website that promotes these films. "The most important event in the history of mankind is happening right now. In the blink of an eye, the biblical rapture strikes the world. Millions of people disappear without a trace. All that remains are their clothes and belongings. And in an instant, terror and chaos spread around the world. Gridlock, riots, and looting overrun the cities. There is no one to help. The entire planet is plunged into darkness." Now, that's a great premise for an action movie. But is it true? The Left Behind series dramatizes a particular interpretation of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. This interpretation, this particular understanding, is called pre-tribulation millennialism. And it assumes a series of events. First, it assumes someday all true believers in Jesus Christ will be instantly raptured and taken up into heaven simultaneously. Then the second event, immediately following, will be 7 years of terrible tribulation, violence, and destruction on the earth. Then third, finally, Jesus himself will return to rapture those who've changed their mind and now believe. But in the gospel accounts of the end times, like the one we just read from Mark 13, the rapture occurs just once, when Jesus actually returns. That marks the end of the age, when Jesus judges the living and the dead. There's no additional 7 years of chaos and no second rapture. The account found in Mark 13 is not quite as elaborate as the Left Behind theory. Maybe not quite as suspenseful, and it probably doesn't lend itself as well to a movie script. But it comes from Christ himself. You should know that the Left Behind interpretation of the end times was unheard of until the 1830s, when it was proposed by an Anglican clergyman named John Nelson Darby. And his ideas weren't widely accepted until the second half of the 20th century, with the publication of a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey in 1970. Then in 1978, the Ryrie Study Bible was published that supported this end times theory. Then came the Left Behind series by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye, the books starting in the 1990s. Left Behind theology has become wildly popular in some segments of Christendom, but decidedly unpopular among most biblical scholars and theologians. Despite what the Left Behind movies portray, most scholars and theologians would argue that the rapture portrayed in the movie is clearly not the biblical rapture. And even that compelling promotional line about the most important event in the history of mankind, as important as the return of Christ is, most theologians would argue that it is not the most important event in the history of mankind. I'll explain that in a minute. Those who promote the idea that the return of Christ is the apex of history, they tend to link the return of Jesus to events in the news. They constantly analyze geopolitical happenings, especially news involving Israel. There's a lot of that right now. It's all part of an effort to forecast the end of the world. And that's a waste of time. Jesus himself says so right here in Mark 13, verse 32. Nobody will know in advance when Jesus returns. We need to be prepared, but we're going to be surprised. So if we're never going to know the day or the hour, what should we know? What's important to know about the end times and the return of Jesus? It's important to know that even though the return of Jesus marks the conclusion of God's work on earth, the culminating event, the most important event in the history of mankind, has already happened. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in human history. In Genesis 3:15, after Satan had tempted Adam and Eve and sin had entered the world, God proclaimed to Satan that a descendant of Eve's will crush Satan's head and Satan would bruise his heel. And so in the crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus crushed the head of Satan. He destroyed the power of Satan to destroy you, because you who seek forgiveness are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God, who proclaims you justified, which means he has taken away your guilt and mine. And now, as you struggle with sin and discouragement in life, you can confess your sins and receive forgiveness. You can seek assurance in your baptism, knowing that you belong to Christ. In communion, you can taste and touch God's forgiveness and encouragement in his body and blood. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. We're reconciled to God, meaning at peace with God, trusting God, because God is forgiving us. Read 2 Corinthians 5:17. That means God will help you in every trouble. You can cast all your cares upon him, knowing that he will always care for you. He will be your high rock, your shelter in every trouble as you call upon him. All of that has come about because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, the most important event in the history of mankind. But the story isn't done yet. Take a look at our gospel lesson, Mark 13, verse 24, where Jesus said, "But in those days, after that tribulation," what tribulation? What's he talking about? The tribulation Jesus was referring to was not the rapture, not 7 years of chaos and destruction. Jesus was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem. He was warning his disciples. You can read it in the first part of Mark 13. Jesus was warning his disciples, and he spoke those words just a few days before he was crucified. He was warning his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened only 40 years later, in the year 70 AD. And according to precise accounts kept by the Jewish historian Josephus, it happened exactly the way Jesus described it to his disciples, down to the smallest detail, including families fighting within their own ranks and the agony of starvation and the desecration of the temple at the hands of the Romans. Jesus prophesied all of it in shocking detail. In the next breath, in Mark 13, Jesus switched gears and began telling them about a completely separate event, an event that hasn't happened yet, his return to earth on clouds, descending with great power and glory. And you know, that's a lot to swallow. It's hard to believe. Jesus descending on clouds down to us on earth. It's hard to believe. And yet, Jesus' description of the horrors of the destruction of Jerusalem, that was very difficult for his disciples to believe. But it happened just the way he described it just 40 years later, when many of that generation were still alive. And so there's every reason for us to believe that his description of his return to earth will turn out to be just as accurate, just as true to the details, as his description of the coming destruction of Jerusalem. It's going to happen. And that's important for you to know. And for you, Jesus returning is fantastic news. You belong to Him. You've been marked as His in baptism. You've tasted His forgiveness and reconciliation at communion. He hears your prayers. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's forgiven you and loves you. And because you belong to Christ, His return is not something to fear. It's something to look forward to. The day Christ returns will be a day of relief and joy and celebration. So be at peace. It's the season of Advent, and Christ is coming. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love and compassion and mercy toward us imperfect and sinful people. Lord, help us to recognize the depth of our own sin and the magnitude of what You have done for us, and cause that to fill us with gratitude toward You, Heavenly Father, and humility and compassion toward one another and all our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.